Belch, great to see you.
Glenn, good to see you.
Fun night in Miami.
Good day. Yeah.
Fun Coach. Night in Miami, huh?
Pied in with the fish.
Well, it was good for our football team. Thought the players did a good job last night. They played hard and they made some plays. And, you know, we were alert. We took advantage of some mistakes and opportunities. And, you know, all the credit goes to the players. They were played a great game.
Seemed to be a real difference. We were talking about it earlier. The first couple drives by Miami, you didn't seem to be happy on the sidelines, and there seemed to be some confusion. And then everything seemed to come into focus with that defense, and they played much differently. Were they just missing a little bit off the game plan, or were you seeing something that Miami was throwing at you that you didn't expect?
Well, I think, you know, Miami gives you a lot of stuff to get ready for. They run a lot of different packages and give you, you know, different formations and personnel groups and all that. So, you know, there are times in the game where we just didn't play things quite the way we wanted to play them, needed to play them. Some of that's coaching, some of that's playing, some of it's just, you know, Miami giving us different looks and making it hard. They don't make it easy for you. So they do a good job. Coach Henning does a good job of game planning and strategizing. So, you know, they challenged us. Some plays we made, some plays they got us on.
Now, you would have never thought that Nikovich would turn into Revis in that game, but what was it? Was there any different look you showed him that he threw to the area when he didn't expect Nikovich to be?
I think Rob just did a good job of reading the quarterback, getting a good break on the ball, and showed good hands. Both those catches were tough catches. They were away from his body, and it wasn't like the ball just came right between a 5 and a 0. He had to make good adjustments on those plays, and he did. But, you know, I think the big thing was he got a good read on the quarterback and saw him throw the ball and was able to jump the throw and get into the passing lane.
First two interceptions of his life. A great jump on the ball.
Yeah,
because let's take it back to the beginning during the week. Did you sense anything like this during the week? Was it a particularly good week of practice, or was things pretty much as they've been?
You know, I think the team's practiced well, really all 4 weeks for the regular season. And you know, the team's worked hard. They've prepared hard, meetings and all those, everything, walkthroughs and all. You know, really see guys paying attention, trying to do all the little things right, things like that. So, you know, that's kind of the way it's been. I think that, you know, as a coach, you hope that you continue to do those things throughout the course of the year, and then therefore your team gets better. It gets better every day of practice. It gets better every week at the end of the week, the practice, the game, and all that. And so hopefully, you know, we're continuing to move in the right direction. But I think our practice is good this week. Our focus was good, and I was just happy to see it all come together for the players. Last night, I think they deserve it, and again, I was particularly happy for them that, you know, they got the good win, and you want to see all that hard work and effort pay off.
No, coach, offensive game plan.
You great.
What?
No, good. We're good.
We're not good. What do you want?
I'm waiting on you. Good. All right, forget it then. I got this one. Let's take that now to the next step. Before the game, we're hearing talk good talk to the players before the game, pointing out that a lot of people weren't having faith in their team.
Jeff Fred's prediction up there on the wall?
I didn't abandon you, Coach. They did, but I didn't. All right? How about that?
Listen,
you tell them that?
Stop channeling Pete, okay? All right? Stop that.
He took over my body.
Was there a chip placed on these guys' shoulders before the game?
You know, Steve, I think before each game has its own unique game. The matchups, the circumstances surrounding the game, particularly in division games. And so, you know, each game's a little bit different. And I think you try to, as a team, build on the uniqueness and the importance of that particular individual game. And so, I mean, in the end, though, I think this game really came down to the players. They played well. They performed well. The execution was good. We capitalized on some mistakes and made big plays on them. And so, you know, all the other stuff I don't think really has nearly as much to do with the game as the players going out there and playing well does.
Now, Coach.
Sorry, Fred.
What was this, tag team? Like 800 pounds tacking me.
Conspiring.
We figured if we could nose you out. Two blocked kicks in virtually the same way. Was there something you saw in film during the course of the week? What did you guys do to be able to get such a free run with Chung at the kicker?
Well, in that particular play, he came open on a twist. Cunningham, Jermaine went first, and Patrick twisted behind him, and it looked like the protection was just a little bit late, sliding over and getting Chung, and, you know, he was through there and took a good angle and hit the block point there. And, you know, so it was well-executed block. A lot of times you see guys come free and miss the ball, but, you know, he hit that. They, of course, got one block last week against the Jets and had two blocked earlier in preseason. So I think their, you know, their punt protection all has been something that's been a little bit of an issue for them all year. But again, I think it was really good execution. It was good design by Scott O'Brien. And any time you rush a punt, you really never know which guy is going to come free. You can say, well, we think it's going to be this guy. But, again, when all that happens right there at the line of scrimmage, a lot of times a guy is just late to block his guy, or he just misses a switch or a twist or something, and you think that they're going to get it, but for whatever reason they don't, and everybody's got to be ready to go. And on that particular play, Patrick did. He got off on the ball well, took a great angle, and hit the block. On the field goals, same thing. They, had given up a little bit of pressure inside against Buffalo in particular, and also gave up some pressure last week against the Jets on the edge. So we had an overload rush, and I don't know whether the end didn't get out or whether the wing didn't block down enough. But in any case, Chung got off on the ball. He got a great get off, which is, usually when you see a kick blocked, when you freeze the play right at the snap, the guy who's blocking it is one of the guys is either the first one off the ball or he's one of the first ones off the ball. And so, Chung got a great jump on the snap, hit the gap there between the end of the wing and flattened out. And then I thought Gerard Page made a real good play with the ball kind of rolling around back there. He dove for it and kind of punched it out as opposed to falling on it, and that put it out into space. And, you got the field goal team out there. You got, nine guys that are, the biggest, strongest blockers, and then you have a holder and a kicker, two specialists. So, you feel like you have a pretty good chance defensively. If you just get your hands on the ball, you could probably run it back because there's not a lot of, good tacklers out there on the field. So, kind of similar to the play in the AFC Championship in 2001 where, Troy Brown had the scoop and score lateral to Antoine Harris. So, that same kind of play where if you can just get your hands on the ball and not fall on it, you could really turn it into a big play, a touchdown. So, that's what happened.
Coach, at the time, last night we didn't know until after they flashed it up, but that was the first time in history there's been three touchdowns off a field goal, extra after a block punt, and a kick return.
An interception.
That's the first time in history. It's so unique, and they played at such a high level. Nobody, even me, didn't predict that you'd go out there and dominate the special teams of that level. And you being an old special teams coach, very old, do you do you sit in a lot of special teams meetings and still help formulate the stuff?
Well, Scott O'Brien really handles the special teams. Of course, Scott and I, meet together on a weekly basis and go over the game plan, talk about what we're going to do and how all that ties into the overall offensive and defensive part of it. So it's, we have a good consistent plan. But, Scott really, he coaches every position, and Brian Flores, his assistant, and those two guys do a great job of not only teaching our guys what to do, but also showing our team what they do and giving them good looks at it so that we can react to it quickly in practice in preparation for the game. So I think the preparation's good, but Scott, Scott does a great job. But you're right, as a former special teams coach, you love to see those plays happen. And, you see the guys staying after practice, on Fridays, everybody's in eating pizza or whatever. And
it's
the, yeah. And then the guys who are on the punt block team, we do the block that kick drill Friday after practice. And, they're out there another 5-10 minutes after everybody else. And you love to see that. That hard work, that hard extra work pay off. And same thing on Thursdays when we do the field goal block. The last play, we give the field goal block team a chance to block the kick. We kind of, move out of the way with the field goal team so we can get some penetration, block the kick, and then always practice on scooping the ball up and running it back in. And so both those plays really were just the result of the hard work in practice and that showing up in the game. And so it's great to reinforce the extra time and effort the players put into it to see him have that success last night.
And one thing we didn't talk about, Gostowski's kicks. How many were returnable? He kicked him out of the end zone.
Was there wind behind him?
The wind was kind of a crosswind, Glenn. It was kind of blowing from their bench over to our bench, and I think it was maybe slightly favoring when we walked out of the tunnel, blowing from that end down to the end that the teams didn't walk out of. But it seemed like it was a little more of a crosswind than it was a down the field wind, and of course Steve hit the ball great because he kicked them out of the end zone going both directions. So, he had a great night.
I was going to say, looking at it early, he had to kick a deep field goal, you felt probably pretty confident that he could go pretty deep out. Right?
Yeah. Well, I don't think range. I don't think range would have been a problem for him. I mean, he's still got to get through the uprights, but at least getting it there, You felt like there was a lot of range there.
Hey, Bill, we were joking about the field last week and how they put the turf on for the infield. Little did we know they were going to bring that turf back this week because they only had 3 days for a Marlins game. First of all, were you a little, and it didn't seem to be a factor in the game last week. Allen slipped on it a little bit and trying to defend a pass. Were you concerned about it before the game? Did you go out there, check it out, and was there a little bit of concern that there might be some footing problems?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, when it goes down that quickly, it you have to think about it a little bit. Now, in the northern cities, like when I was in Cleveland or even when I was with the Colts, and they would sod the infield from Memorial Stadium or Cleveland Municipal Stadium, it was much colder, obviously, and the grass didn't take nearly as well. It would come up in clumps and that kind of thing, but the field was firm, and the only problem with the field was just the seams. Some of the seams where the sod was put together.
You could see like a little rolling.
It didn't look that bad to me. It just, but I think the seams, there were a couple places where it was just a little bit loose. I know, Steve missed a kick in pregame right there at the seam and where he planted, and then we just slid the ball in a few inches from the same spot. He had good footing, and he nailed it. So, I think there's just some little subtleties there. You just, that's kind of why you go out in pregame warm-up to check that out and so forth. But overall, where it was sodded was, I would say, in excellent condition.
Another big return by Tate, a great block by Morris.
Yes.
All aspects of the special teams kicking in. What is it about him? Is it the one cut and go? Is it the ability to read? What does he do that's a little bit different from some other kick returners?
Well, I think the big thing with Brandon is just his open field running. I mean, once he got to the corner there, great block by Sammy Morris, and then he cut it up, and he kind of used Woodhead's block there where, Woody kind of pushed Allen out of bounds or to the sideline. He made a cutback and kind of hit the gap there. But I think that's the thing that Brandon Tate really does well is he sets up the blocks and runs the return, but then once he has just a little bit of space in the open field, he's an excellent open field runner. He's got a good burst. He has a good feel for setting up those blocks and kind of using the last man or the last blocker that he has to his advantage and then being able to outrun the rest of the guys. So he really does a nice job on that, which he does on, slip screens and returns and those kind of plays. But as an open field runner, he's really good.
Coach, now let's go to the offense. The offense, which surprised me, I was talking to Steve last night, they wore down. The offensive line seemed to be wearing down that defensive line for the Miami. You were running right at them and eating up the clock, keeping the ball away from Miami. Was that the game plan going in? Because you were very successful running the ball, and you seemed to keep them on the field. You did keep them on the field and wear them down a little bit.
Well, we're more than anything just trying to stay balanced. I think they're the kind of defense that you don't want to just give them one thing to worry about or they'll gear up for that. So we try to stay balanced with the running game, the quick passing game, kind of the intermediate passing game, use our tight ends, use our backs, use our receivers, run the ball inside, run the ball outside, be in some empty, be in some shotgun, be under center, and just kind of keep it moving on them. So that was really kind of the game plan. And I thought Benny ran really hard at the end. We got a couple good sub runs out of Woody there. When they were spread out, and so overall it was a productive running game. Not devastating, but it was productive. We made yards when we needed to, and in the end we're able to run the clock out, which is always great when you finish the game with the ball in your hands kneeling on it. So that was a nice job offensively of picking up those first downs right at the end of the game and closing it out.
Now Woodhead, he's been successful the last two games. Can a guy that size, he has looks like he has great instincts. He catches the ball well. He explodes. He has good speed. A guy that was waived, was a free agent, can he keep that? Is it something that they can lock onto, or is it just his running ability, his ability to find the open space that makes him successful? Or is it something they just haven't seen?
Well, no, I think when you look at him in preseason with the Jets that you see a lot of those same plays. You see him catching the ball, running with it after the catch. He's fast and he's quick, and he's got good, for his size, he's got good strength. He's not a big power back. I'm not saying that, but he's got enough strength in his lower body to run through some arm tackles and the balance to stay on his feet, and he's quick. And, when he sees a seam like he did on that little under route or the draw play last week, he can accelerate and he can get through there. He runs really well.
So he's not just quick. He's got good acceleration.
Absolutely. Yeah. He can run. Yeah. He absolutely can run. And so he's fast. He's quick. And, he's again built low to the ground. He's got good balance and he sticks his nose in there. He's a tough blocker and, you know, he'll stick it in there and blitz pickup. So, you know, he's done a good job for a guy who's been here 2 weeks. He's handled a lot of things on the offense, you know, the running game, the pass protection, empty formations, things like that. He's contributed in the kicking game. So, you know, he works hard, he studies, and he's added a lot in 2 weeks.
We've talked a lot about the tight ends and the talent of the tight ends, and they all seem to have different skill set, and you've been using them together. What type of versatility does that give you? And you can put all three of them out there, and it allows you to do some stuff that maybe you haven't been able to do in the past.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think that, it's getting to the point when you play the Patriots that you've got to defend three tight ends, you've got to defend three receivers. Or maybe in a fourth receiver with Edelman or Woody in the backfield, however you want to treat a player like that. So, when you play us, you've kind of now got to defend, you know, the whole gamut. You know, a lot of tight ends, a lot of receivers, and all the other stuff in between. And I just know that defensively, that's hard to do. It's hard to have a good package for everything. It's hard to spend a lot of time on all those. You have to pick out one or two of them and spend a lot of time on it, or spend a little bit of time on all of them, and then you get spread kind of thin. But either way, it's we're trying to make it a tough week of preparation, but more importantly, tougher the defense to defend us. And then a lot of times in games, if we find that we have a good matchup, then we could stay in that a little bit longer and try to take advantage of it if we feel like we've got one.
How did your offensive line play overall?
I thought we were okay. We had a little trouble with pass protection there on the edge a couple times, and holding penalty. We got a big play called back, but. That's a good front. They're a big, physical, strong front. They do a good job in the run blocking. They can rush off the corner, with Wake and Comisi and Francis and those guys. So, you know, it's never going to be easy against them. But, I thought we hung in there and were able to make enough plays. But they made a few, too. You know, they gave us a few problems in there. And it's, they have a good group. And, you know, but our offensive line's done a good job.
Coach, you put Vince at right tackle in defense. Didn't put him in nose tackle. What was the mindset behind that?
We've moved him around a little bit, and we just this is a big off-tackle running team. They really like to get the ball in the, we call them the C-gap area there, between the tackle and tight end, or tackle, tight end, and the next gap out if there's a wing. So we just felt like in this particular game that, those off-tackle runs that they run, that we'd have a, put Vince out there and make him deal with that.
And they ran away. They ran away from him.
They ran away from him quite a bit. Yeah, they ran away,
Coach.
She's pretty good, Fred.
No, it's pretty unusual, a nose tackle to be able to go out and play in an open space like that when you're so used to being on the center. It's just very versatile for that.
Well, yeah, Vince is. I think Vince is. He's a very smart player. He understands, the different blocking schemes, the rush lanes, and leverage, and all those kind of things. And so it gives us, versatility to be able to put him in different places on the defense and create different matchups and, try to gain an advantage there. And, sometimes an advantage, know that the plays are going to go away, and then you can, defend the other side a little bit more aggressively and, feel like he can take care of, his side, that kind of thing. So, we found that just teams are scheming for him a lot on the nose, a lot of double team blocks, and kind of trying to, keep him from being, a big factor in the running game, and it's a little harder to do that with a defensive end, unless, like you say, you just want to run away from him all the time.
Tom was able to spread the ball around to a number of receivers. Is there a reason that Randy was only targeted once or twice, and was it a factor of the coverage or was it a factor of the game plan?
Well, I think anytime you throw the ball, unless it's a screen pass, the quarterback does the same thing he always does. He reads the coverage, and based on the coverage and the route that we have called, then goes to where the lightest part of the coverage is, where we have the most space to throw, or if it's man-to-man coverage, where the best matchup is. So that's the way it always is. That's the way it'll be. And I think, that's the way it turns out sometimes. Sometimes certain players get, in some games, more opportunities than others. But in the end, it's the quarterback's job to read the coverage and throw the ball the right place.
Well, Randy's okay with that? Randy's okay with the just being targeted once, he understands that's all part of the whole.
Well, yeah, sure. When there's people on him, that means there's less people somewhere else.
Now, Hernandez, a young kid, you're going to him in crucial situations. He must be very comfortable with the game plan and understanding of what you guys want to do, and that's unusual for a rookie.
Well, it really is. Aaron's a really smart player. He's as smart a guy as I've been around him for a kid that's 20 years old. He's really very, has a great comprehension of not only his assignments, but he's a very instinctive player. I mean, he kind of makes a lot of right decisions when he should, go here, go there, stop, keep moving, slow down, speed up, based on the the relationship between himself, the quarterback, and the defender. So he makes a lot of good decisions there, and he knows how to get open. Like I said, he's an instinctive player, but we move him around in a lot of different formations, and he's a smart guy. He doesn't really have much problem with that.
Gruden was telling a story last night that you went down to Florida for some kind of thing, and you went into a film room and just kept watching films on Hernandez and the guys and weren't participating.
Was he mad because I didn't come out and listen to his whole talk?
Right. You learned something from him. Was that true that you were watching a lot of
films? Well, I did. I went down there for Coach Meyer invited me down there for a Florida high school coaches clinic, and so Coach Gruden and I were two of the speakers. So went down a little bit early and watched some film, and then went out and watched them practice. And then after practice is when the clinic started that evening. And so I heard Coach Gruden speak, and he was very impressive. He did a great job. He can't say that I wasn't there for that. And then I talked for a little while. But I did. I had an opportunity to not only watch film, but also see those players practice. And that's very unusual for me. I usually go in at the end of the year when the players are finished playing and go through the scouting process for the kids that are going to be drafted in that upcoming draft. But they actually go out and watch players. This was after the draft. This was in May. So I went down there and did this clinic, and I kind of looked at some of the players that were coming out the following year, which was, you know, a real good group. It was Spikes, Cunningham, Hayden, Tebow, Hernandez, Nelson, the kid that's up at Buffalo, Cooper, the other receiver, Pouncey. I mean, they had, you know, a lot of guys to look at there. And Cunningham, the other defensive end at Dunlap at Cincinnati. So, you know, we were watching a lot of players, and turn out we got three of them. So,
did Gruden stay around and listen to when you spoke?
Oh, yeah, John did, yeah. Yeah, he did, yeah.
You know, he was the water boy when I was in San Francisco. You're slow with the water, too.
We've seen a lot of wins with this franchise over the years. I don't remember seeing as much emotion, happy emotion, as I saw in that game at the end. People were ecstatic. How much of that, Bill, and how much of it plays into the young players on this team? And then you win a key game against a division foe, you win on the road, and you also come up with 35 points, and everybody's involved, special teams, defense, offense, 35 points in the second half. Basically, all of the things that people were concerned with leading up to that game seem to get resolved in that one game. We don't know what's happening going forward, but how much does that play into young kids? And you now can convince them, look what happens when we do this. You know, that they now are playing with a lot more confidence, as opposed to veterans who can wipe out a loss from the week before, and you know they're back out there playing the same, you know, the same intensity in the same way.
Well, I think kind of the way you described it, Glenn, is very much the way I saw it at the end of the game. It was a great team effort. Everybody contributed. We got big plays from every part of the game, every phase of the game. The players were excited for each other. You could see when guys made plays, how they just rallied around that person and supported them and congratulated them, and it was a great feeling on the sideline. You know, we're in a real tight game at the half. We get the ball to start the third quarter and, you know, score right off the bat. And, you know, we've done that before, kind of like in the Cincinnati game, and then seemed like we, I don't want to say wilted a little bit, but, you know, it took us a little while to really, you know, keep that momentum going. And this time we took that big play and turned it into three or four right after that, and then kind of put the game out of reach. And, you know, I think that's something that we've been talking about with our team of, you know, taking advantage of those opportunities, not letting a team, you know, regain that momentum or that surge and just staying on them and, you know, making a play and then going out and making another one and trying to string them together and gain control of the game. So it was very satisfying for me as a coach to see our team have that kind of success after they've worked so hard at it in practice and talking about it in meetings and so forth. You know, I was happy for them, and you know, they deserved it because they reeled them out and played a good football game.
Now, you remember
against a good football team. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a team that, you know, they're going to win some games this year.
You remember the old saying, it's not as good as you think or as bad as you think when you go into film. Now, what was things that weren't as good when you watched the film?
Just the negative.
Well, yeah, I mean, there were plenty of those. Realistic. I mean, you know, defensively, we, you know, didn't do a very good job on third down. They moved the ball some. Offensively, we, you know, got the quarterback hit. We had first couple series were basically three and outs. So, you know, there are times where we either move the ball real well offensively and we got stalled in the red area a couple times, and then there were other times where we didn't move it much at all. And defensively, we Had some good plays and then let him off the hook with a screen pass on first and 15, a couple third and 10 conversions, things like that. So definitely a lot of room for improvement there. But a lot more good plays than bad ones. But there's still a lot of stuff for us to work on. There's no doubt about it, and things we gotta, we have to do better. We were able to take advantage of a couple balls that, I'm sure that Henny or Thigpen would probably like to have back. But we're fortunate to turn those into interceptions and turnovers. You don't always get those, but when you get them, you got to take advantage of them. And we did last night.
You mentioned third down, and it's been a very difficult down for the defense this year. What is the? Is there one problem that's happening, or is it?
I don't think it's one problem. I think we just got to do a better job all the way around. We get them in long yardage, and we have to coach better. We got to rush better. We got to cover better. We've got to recognize the situation better and understand who can hurt us and who can't in that situation. When the ball snapped, there's probably not every player or every eligible receiver, every skill player is really capable of getting the 10, 12, 14 yards that they need on that down. It's not like third and one where they can run it, throw it to anybody, and gain a couple yards. It's long yardage, so there's only one or two, maybe three guys at the most that can really hurt you in that situation. We got to do a better job of defending them and making them go to the guys who are running short routes or, staying in a blocking and do a better job of focusing on the guys who can really do the most damage,
Coach, is this the youngest group of defensive players? You've had a bunch of rookies starting out there, and, traditionally you have a more complex game plan. Trying to make them play on the same page at such a young group of guys, is this the youngest group you ever had? Have you had anyone younger?
I think it is. I'd say it is, probably overall. I think we have pretty good experience on the defensive line, but even our experienced linebackers like Mayo and Guyton and guys like that are, it's still in the early stages of their career, and the same thing in the secondary. James Sanders probably really our most experienced guy back there, and he's still relatively young, but he's an experienced player. But we have some new players and some guys that are very early in their career. But I don't think that's as important. I mean, we've all played with young players, the Lawrence Taylors and guys that have come in a rookie year. I don't think there's any age requirement. I think it's just a question of how well the team can play together as a unit. And that's our goal as a coaching staff, to get the most out of that and try to teach the players the right thing to do and then have them to execute it properly. And so, I think the biggest thing, we got to do is just got to do a better job of coaching. And if the players continue to work hard and pay attention to the little details and study film and all that, then I'm sure it'll continue to get better.
Talking about the Ute theme.
Utes.
When you're dealing with these younger players, and you talk all the time about trying to exploit a mismatch during the course of a game, do you start to see trends after three or four games and that other teams see that weakness in one of these players, specifically one of these younger players? And how much time do you spend going over the film saying they're doing it over and over to you for a specific reason?
I don't think you see the one thing just 20 times a game, but I do think you see a common thing. You'll see something a couple times in this game, and then a couple times in the next game, and a couple times in the next game. And I think that's the point where you kind of got to stop and say, look, I mean, how many times is this going to happen now? We got to get this fixed. It's not the same play 20 times in a row, but it's similar things in similar situations, and a good football player, good football team, gets those fixed. They got them taken care of one way or another, and that's, in some cases, that's what we have to do a better job of. I mean, defensively on third down, that's where it starts. We have to do a better job there. We can play better in the red area on both sides of the ball. We didn't have a great red area day offensively or defensively, so keep working on that. And we got the Ravens coming to town, and we know what happened last time they were here, so we
had
a big
challenge. Coach.
Well,
lucky we hit the head 8,000 times. No, you just said something. It's when the kids come in, everyone's looking to make a big play. But sometimes it's just playing your position correctly, and the play will come to you.
That's where it starts.
And so that's where you look at the little breakdowns here that lead to big things. Everyone thinks it's some dramatic thing. It's correcting little mistakes, getting bit, biting on someone, not keeping proper contain. And so how close you think these guys are starting to understand it's the simple little things that make the big thing work?
Well, I think it's gotten better every week. I mean, I think it's absolutely gotten better every week. And we're not there yet. But I see us gaining ground on it on a weekly basis. I see it in practice, and I see it in the games. You know, it's we got to make the pace go as fast as we can there. You know, and get those, and get, and again, that those challenges change every week. You know, it'll be a different challenge with Baltimore than it was with Miami. It was different with Miami than it was with Buffalo. So whatever they were last week, like, is there going to be some carryover from week to week? Yeah, a little bit, but you know, you're going up against a new team, new players, new scheme, new offensive coordinator, signal play caller, whatever it is. And it's different, and you've got to be able to transition into that different scenario the following week and still, as you say, do your job, play your responsibility, and not try to make every play, but make sure you make the ones that are your responsibility.
Is it more difficult to harness some of these guys, as Freddie was just saying, to play there? Because they have tremendous speed, so they think they can do it.
Coming from other schemes.
Yeah, they think they can do it by themselves.
Well, I think there's some truth to that. We play a style of defense. It's a little bit different than some of the ones that other players of ours have played. And so there is a transition there. And there is on offense, too. You know, so I think that's part of it, is understanding that this isn't the way you guys did it last year or in some other team or some other scheme. This is the way it fits in our particular situation, offense, defense, and special teams. And guys that have been here understand that a little bit better than some of the ones that haven't. But in the end, that's the point we're all trying to get to.
Well, Steve's got a question.
Steve's got today's coach's question of the week,
brought
to you by
AutoTrader.com.
We told you a week ago to be ready for this one. Now compare new and used cars side by side at AutoTrader.com, the ultimate automotive marketplace and proud partner of Patriots football. By the way, your face looked a lot like Bill's shoes last night.
Bill had the pink shoes on last night? That's right. I saw that. All right. How about the momentum that you can gain from a game like this? Is that something you can use, or is it something that the bye week would negate?
Well, I really think each game's its own entity, and this game against Baltimore will start out nothing. It didn't matter whether we won or lost last week. We're starting from scratch. But I do think a game like this can, you know, work one of two ways. I think it can have a tendency to make the team a little bit complacent or overconfident or feeling like everything's right, or it can be a bit of a momentum builder of, look how well things went, and let's work even harder to make them go well again next week. And I think it can have your team work harder in practice and just be even more focused and build off the success that it had. But, you know, sometimes it goes the other way. Sometimes it, subsides a little bit because you kind of feel like you're there and we'll just get to it when we need to. And so... That's the balance.
What are you going to tell your young guys for the bye week?
That this is their last chance. Once we come back for the Baltimore preparation, this is it. It's 12 straight weeks of football, just like the last really 10 that we've had, the two training camp weeks. And so, we're kind of right at the halfway point of the season. This is where you get all the same thing I told them coming into the training camp. This is where you get all your personal stuff taken care of, things that are they've kind of been piling up that you've shoved in that drawer. Now's the time to deal with them because we come back. There's nothing ahead of us but 12 tough football games, and you're not going to have time for anything else but that. So, do your Christmas shopping.
All right, we'll catch you Monday. We'll sit down.
I'll try to get him on board, Coach.
We'll talk about the Baltimore Ravens on Monday. You know what, Fred?
Benedict.
They may want you to pick against them next week so you can use it as motivation again with the guys.
All I do is pick the truth.
Who would ever believe Fred picking against the Patriots?
That's what I mean. That would be motivation.
I pick what I see.
All right, Bill, see you next Monday.
All right, sounds good, Glenn. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Coach.
Quick break. We're back at you live down here in July.